Turkey Avos, there are a lot of Sfarim out there, and yeah, there are also anthologies.
That's for sure. Which would you recommend?
What I would like to recommend is a sefer which hopefully we'll get a taste of tonight, called the Avodas Yisrael. Now, what I found is an anthology of many, many different sources that are approaching the sixth Mishnah and analyzing the sixth Mishnah in the first parak of Avos. Okay. And that's where we're up to. We're up to the first parak of Avos. Now, why did I choose this particular topic? The answer is because it's the days of Sfira. Yeah. And my goal was to talk about Sfira and at the same time talk about Pirkei Avos. And I think I may have hit a grand slam here. Yeah, right. Because I think that these sources, you'll be the jury, contain and present a certain overlap, almost a perfect integration of both the days of Sfira and the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos. Now, we're going to read this Mishnah, and the Avodas Yisrael is going to give us a fantastic insight into this Mishnah, but we're not going to read the Avodas Yisrael. I want to leave that for the punchline at the end of the Shia. So I'm hoping you'll have about an hour to spend with me if you have that time, and we'll go through all these sources and then swing back to the Avodas Yisrael. But let's just read the Mishnah so we know what the Avodas Yisrael is going to comment on. Yoshua ben Prachya ben Itai Harbeli Kiblu Mehem. They were next in the line of the Mesorah. They were the two great scholars at that generation. And we're going to focus on the teaching of Yoshua ben Prachya, which is a very positive teaching. And he says, Asei lecha rav, knei lecha chaver, avidon es kol ha'odom lekaf schus. As opposed to Nita Har Bailey, who gives us all sorts of negative, things that we have to stay away from this and stay away from that. Yoshua ben Prachya gives us a much more positive attitude. He says, "Asei uknei and hevidan." These are more joyous kinds of things. In any event, certainly the last on the list, namely Avidan es kol ha'odim lekaf schus, has to do with judging another person, is very relevant to the days of Sfira. Imirtz Hashem, we're going to see why. Let's begin with the third source on your page, which is a Gemara in a few places. It appears also in Psachim. Now, just to give you a little background, the great Tannaim would really teach us that every single word in the Torah is important. There's no such thing as a superfluous word. But there was one word that repeats itself all over the place and doesn't seem to have any purpose. And that became the great challenge for the Tannaim. And that's the word es, or in Sfaradit, et. And this word appears left, right, and center. And yet, what does it mean? Had the Torah left it out, would we be missing anything? Mm. So the first one on the list was somebody by the name of Shimon Ha'amsuni. He came from that area called Amsun. And others say his name was Nechemya Amsuni. And he was Doresh Kol Esin Shebet Torah. Every single time he saw the word S, he came up with a drasha, which is what we call a ribui, meaning that the S is coming to include something else that's not explicit in the pasuk, until he got to one S, and at that point he said, "I throw in the towel. I cannot come up with any explanation, any derivative to derive from this S." And that was the pasuk, "S Hashem Elokecha Tira." You should fear God. How could S, in the case of God, come to be marvet to add anything besides God? There's nothing like the fear of God. What else are we going to fear? God is the ultimate fear. And at this point, he made a statement, Nechemya Amsuni. He said that, the Talmidim said to him, "V'kol esin shadarashnamai to hail him." He gave us a whole list of esin and all the drashos. We could fill up a whole Megillah, a whole Torah scroll with all your drashos, and now you're finally stumped. Does that indicate that the word S is not necessarily including anything? It doesn't really have any justification. In which case, you're going to have to throw out all the drashos that you have. Why? Again, do you follow The problem is inconsistency. If you're consistent and you want to demonstrate that the word S has a meaning and it's a ribui that includes something, then it has to apply all the way.
Yeah.
If we can show and we can demonstrate that in one case the word S doesn't include anything, then we really have disproven the very thesis that an S is coming to... So Shimon HaMsuni, instead of getting down on himself, because who knows how many years of his life he had spent, you know, darshaning and analyzing all these essen. Do we have another copy of the Maamar Kovos here for Avi? It's one single page. So if anybody has more than one page... Oh, there it is. Here, Avi, take this. This is a little chopped up. Oh, so I don't know all his drushes, but...
So Shabbat Aretz was to say, it's not only that, it means the stars and all that sort of thing.
Oh, excellent. But now we get stuck with the S.H.L. Kekatira. So he was, you know, he was really challenged now. What's he going to do? Throw overboard everything he did? So that's exactly what he said. He said, "Kishem shekibalti scharal adrisha, kachani mekabel scharal aprisha." There's something called drisha and something called prisha. Drishas mean when I insist that this is the meaning of the pasuk, and this is what I'm going to derive from it. And prisha means that I'm going to say that what I said was wrong. And to the same extent, God will reward me for saying what I thought was right at the time. He will reward me for what is not right, because I admit that what I said is wrong. Prisha means when he lifts up his hands and he says, "Forget about what I told you." You know, I had this once with Rabbi Soloveitchik. I was sitting next to my friend Chaim Ilson, Rabbi Ilson, in the shir, and Rabbi Soloveitchik was looking for an explanation to answer a problem that he had. So Rabbi Ilson said, "Rebbe, 5 years ago, this is what you said." So Rabbi Soloveitchik cut him off in the middle. He says, "Forget about what I said 5 years ago. You listen to what I say now." And that's exactly what Shimon and HaMsuni is saying. Forget about what I told you for who knows how long. All that is wrong. But I'll get rewarded for the prisha, because Hashem wants emes. He wants truth. Comes Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "No, don't throw out everything and all the drushes of Shimon HaMsuni." Why? Because I can interpret the word S as well, even in the pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Es L'Rabos Talmid Chacham, which means that we have to have a reverence and a fear and a respect for not only God Almighty, but also for Talmid Chacham. So my subject for today is this concept of Kvod Talmid Chacham. Why? Because since the learning of Avos coincides with the days and the weeks of Sfira, the sin of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who perished, and that's why these days are very solemn days. The Shulchan Aruch says we don't get married during these days, with the exception of Lag BaOmer. And there are other minhagim that we have, you know, that we don't say Shechiyonu. We try to avoid, if we can, Shechiyonu during this period of time. What else? So we don't shave, we don't take haircuts. You know, all this is a reflection of the loss of 24, music, the loss of 24, catastrophic, 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And why? What was their sin? The Gemara tells me, Rav Shalom Nagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh. So they were lacking in this Es Hashem El Kechatira. So I thought that would be a good topic, if we could connect it back to Pirkei Avos, with the days of Sfira. And what I want to share with you is a Tolos Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov Yosef, you know, I'm just going to say something for those who come from New York who might, I know, David, you're not from New York, are you?
I was born in New York.
You're born. So did you ever hear the RJJ school, Rabbi Jacob Joseph?
No.
Anyway, there's a famous school called, it's named after this person, the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, was one of the outstanding students of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus. And he quotes something in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, which I think is very powerful. And we're going to see it quoted also in the Orach L'Chaim. That's Rabbi Avram Chaim Mizlachev. Meaning both of these have the same tradition of a certain insight of the Baal Shem. And there are very slight, subtle nuances of differences, but basically it's one and the same. So that's what I wanted to study with you, because I think that that's going to shed a tremendous light on Rabbi Akiva and his love for the students of Torah. Okay, then. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that we're familiar with because we recite it every week. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. Now let's translate that pasuk literally. The Baal Shem Tov is going to have a much deeper insight, way, way beyond the simple, straightforward pshat. The pasuk says that God is the God of vengeance, meaning He is going to punish us. But then the pasuk says, Kel Nekamos Hofia. Now the word Hofia means that He has appeared, meaning He shows Himself. He reveals Himself. And usually when we talk about the revelation of God, we always associate that with good things, with some sort of a positive experience in which God reveals Himself. But here, we're talking about God meeting out harsh punishment, and then it says, Hofia, as if to say, let's applaud Hashem, because He revealed Himself. We're excited, we're joyous, we're jumping for joy. It seems a little bit strange. But again, we could say that maybe what it means, when it says, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia, in other words, when we see strict judgment, we see God. Because God is in charge of meeting out punishment. But the Baal Shem Tov has a whole different take on it. What did he do, the Baal Shem Tov? You know, if you know a little bit about his teachings, he always gave a mashal. You know, everything was a story. And from that story, we're meant to understand wisdom. So he tells the story, the Baal Shem, of an ish kfar, a person who lived in the small, he was a villager, I guess you could say, and he rebelled against the king. Now again, he wasn't such a significant individual, he wasn't one of the greats in the, you know, leaders or officers in the king's court, and you know, the king didn't have to get all upset about the rebellion of this ish kfar. Again, there are different versions of what exactly this person did in his rebellion. According to one approach, he had, I think you call it in English, an effigy of the king. You know, like a little booba, and he lit it up in smoke. That's not very good for a person to do in a kingship. According to another interpretation, he insulted the king. You know, we'll see the various versions, but it's not so critical for us. What's really important in this mashal is to begin to understand the response of the king when he heard about this. When it came to his attention that this ish kfar had rebelled against him, what did he do? So first, we'll look at the version and the presentation of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. He says, Miyad Asa HaMelech Osa L'Rosh. He took this rank and file citizen, this guy who was guilty of rebellion against the king, and he appointed him the head. And then he promoted him from one Madriga to a higher Madriga, until finally he became the Mishnah Melech. He became second in command. And this is very strange. But the king had a plan over here. There was a brilliant plan. Because the more goodness that the king bestowed upon this person is Hevio Yosef Lemadrega, he began to understand and appreciate the severity of his sin. Ra Yosef Kovad HaMelech, he began to respect the king even more and more. He began to see the Masharsim and the Hanhagos of the king. He saw what kingship is all about, how he's surrounded by all these great officers. He saw the way the king behaves. Hoyoset Tsarlozeh. And he had more and more misgivings and anguish with what he had did. Bezichro, because he remembers, we're now on the top left, Shemorad Neged HaMelech HaGadol HaRachmanozeh. Look what he did. He rebelled against this great king, who is a merciful king. Mahoya Roy Leoncho, this king should have punished him severely for his rebellion. And in the opposite, who Metiv Imo Yosef, the king is bestowing upon him goodness. This king is absolutely phenomenal. He's great. He's compassionate. HaMelech Asa V'Chavana Mechuvenes. All this entire program, was deliberate. Why? She'im Hayim Miso. If he would have the king would have declared a decree of the death penalty for this person. He said that, okay, this person would have obviously suffered for a moment, and that's it. Life is over. But what was the derech? What was the approach of the king? He wanted to get this individual to be mitztayer kol yomav, to for the rest of his life regret his action and feel a sense of anguish for what he did. And in a certain sense, his anguish, his disappointment in himself, grows with the passage of time. Because the more he's Ole Yosel Gdula, the more he realizes that what he did was so terrible. And he asks himself, Eich Molo Libo Limrod, how did he have the chutzpah to rebel against the kvod, the king himself? Now, if you take a look in the Orach L'chaim, which is number 5 on your page here, you will see a slightly different version. He writes, Mashal L'kfar Echad. Somebody came from a certain village. Me'apochos Shebepchusim. He was one of the lowest. Ubiza Es HaMelech. He said words of humiliation against the king. And what did the king do? Omar, and the king declared, Imam Chenu, if I'll destroy him, Ein Ze Nikmaso. That's not the way of taking revenge against a person. Why? Because what difference it makes? So he'll die. Does that do anything? No. I want to get this person to the most profound sense of regret for what he did. So instead, Higbia Oso, he lifted him up, made him into one of the greats until he finally became the Mishnah of Melech. And Ma Asa, and what happened as a result, Hikir Begdulas HaMelech, he recognized the greatness of the king. V'haisa Klimas Panavu Bushtaso Gedola B'fnei HaMelech, he was humiliated in a self, you know, self-motivated humiliation. The Achakach, and the king kept building him up, and the Klima was intense, until he finally suffered from busha. Farley, that's all the mashal. Now, what's the nimshal? Says the Baal Shem Tov, Kel Nekomos Hashem. God is going to mete out justice. And how is he going to do it? Through the mid of Rachamim. By showering goodness and gifts upon the person, then Hashem achieves his goal. Why? Shelo kemelech basav adam, not like the normal case of a king who punishes you, he zaps you for your violations, but rather in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kel mekomos hofia. Hofia in the positive sense means God reveals himself. Ratzalova shanakoma, the way God meets out the punishment, is bamesh hofia, that God reveals his greatness. And when a person comprehends and encounters the greatness of God, if he remembers his sin against the King of Kings, the Eimlecha Tzar Gol Mized, therefore his anguish over his sin, his sense of remorse and regret becomes more and more intense and more profound, and that generates a certain process of purification through his tshuva. And this is what the pasuk means when it says, Kel Nekomos Hashem, Kel Nekomos Hofia. So let's just take a moment to think about this mind-boggling idea of the Baal Shem Tov. You would think that God would punish a person severely and, you know, have him suffer and so forth and so on. Instead, paradoxically, God showers upon him goodness. And instead, the recipient, instead of receiving Midas Adin and harsh judgment and punishment, he receives Midas HaRachmanus. He receives compassion. But the answer to this riddle is that by receiving compassion, he begins to appreciate Hashem, he apprehends God's greatness, and therefore, naturally, he feels more and more regret over the rebellion, that he violated the will of God. And we're going to see this idea of the Baal Shem Tov take on a whole new form in this Shiva Dinechemta at the bottom of your page. But first, we want to learn a Gemara in Psachim, which is number 6 on your page. Tanya, Om Rabbi Akiva. Now, all of you know that Rabbi Akiva comes from a very weak background. He becomes, in a sense, the paradigm of a Baal Tshuva. How bad was bad in his youth? He says, "Kshayisi Am Haaretz," when I was in ignoramus, before I started studying the Torah, Amarti, I would say, this was his hatred for Talmidei Chachamim, "Mi yitein li Talmid Chacham," show me a Talmid Chacham, "ve'en shachenu kechamar," and I will bite him like a mule when he gets wild, you know, he goes out and he damages. "Amalo Talmida," "Rebbe," "and Marki Kelev," you know, usually when we talk about an animal that bites, it's a dog. "Amalo lehen," "no." "Zeh no sheikh v'shover etzem." In other words, the power of a dog is limited. Again, I don't think he's talking about the German Shepherd, but in any event, the mule, when he bites you, he crushes your bones. That's how intense the hatred of Rabbi Akiva was for Talmidei Chachamim in his youth. Now what we're going to do is, we're going to try to tie this all together. Remember, number one, that the Gemara of Pesachim tells us that it was Rabbi Akiva who took that S that was so problematic and challenging, and he was Marve Talmidei Chachamim and established the mitzvah of Mora, fear and reverence for the Talmid Chacham. Number two, we have the insight of the Baal Shem Tov, Kel Nekomas Hashem, with the Mashal, and Hashem bestows goodness and compassion on the sinner. And now number three, we have the hatred of Rabbi Akiva in his youth for the scholars. We're going to put this all together now and tie the strings together by studying this piece over here in Shivim Panim LaTorah. Okay. Now, we don't have to go through this introduction. Again, he quotes the Gemara that we learned in Pesachim. He quotes the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva learned from the S, L'Rabbos Talmidei Chachamim. And he says the following. Why is it that Rabbi Akiva is the one... How are you? Come, please come in.
Sorry,
I'm late. No. Don't be sorry. I'm happy that you came. Okay, then? Do you want to sit over here?
Yeah.
Yaakov, do you have an extra copy of the Mar Makomos there?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I would have thought from Rabbi Akiva's background, you'd be wise.
Yeah.
You know, when you brought it from birth, you're not always wise. You're not streetwise. You're streetwise.
Right.
I don't know how he didn't see the...
There's a cup.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You don't know?
I can't see how he couldn't see what the 24 other four students were going with, you know, not making... It stands out.
Maybe he could have stopped it, you say.
Of course. Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's an excellent question. I don't know if we're going to get to that question today, Yaakov. But we'll think about it. Okay then?
What?
Yeah.
He's a smart Alec. No, he's not too bad.
So let's just see if we can. Again, Yaakov is asking a question that goes way beyond what I prepared for today's show. Write me an email and I'm going to try to answer your question. But
Come back next week.
Right now, my goal is to try to tie together the strands of what we've learned until now. Good. He wants to say the following. It's not coincidental that Rabbi Akiva, Dafka Rabbi Akiva, is the one to teach Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chacham. Why is that so? He says, Rabbi Akiva Hoyelo Hasoga Yisera Biotzem Madregas Talmidei Chacham. More than anyone else on the face of the earth, Rabbi Akiva had an appreciation for the power and the Madrega, the special level of the Torah scholars. Mashlo hoisa hasoga kazos l'shara chachomim. Even though other chachomim for sure respected and adored the Talmidei Chachomim, they didn't share that same appreciation, that same level of comprehension for the great hasoga, the great Madrega, the Talmidei Chachomim. It was Rabbi Akiva who had it. And therefore, he was the one who had the audacity, so to speak, to say that S, in the case of Yerushalayim, could be Marbe, a Talmud Chacham. That the fear of God can be compared, if you will, to the fear and the awe and the respect that we have for Talmidei Chacham. V'inyanadavar, and why is it that Rabbi Akiva, amongst all the Talmidei Chacham, had that tremendous awe and respect for the scholars? It's all because of what we learned from the Besh, the Baal Shem Tov, who told us on the Pasuk, he taught us that Kel Nekomas Hashem, Kel Nekomas Hofia, through the Mashal of the Melech Gadol, Shenasa Bekfar, okay, here we have a slightly different version of the Mashal. The king was on a trip, and he went through a small village. Ubiza Oso Kafri Echad, and one villager there, was Mavazahim, he humiliated the king. The Acharkach Mischaret, and now this villager regrets what he did, Upieses HaMelech, and he tried to appease the king, and, you know, ask for forgiveness. The Amru Yoatzei HaMelech, and here we're going to turn to the second page, Ma Toil Hacharata, why should you accept this villager's charata, you know, when he has remorse and regret, al avon gadol kazeh, avon bizayin hamelech, achas dosel lahamis. They crowd around the king and they said, get rid of this guy. He should be strung up. I mean, he doesn't deserve any compassion. He violated such a terrible, severe sin of humiliating the king. It's such an act of rebellion, and now he's asking for appeasement, he's asking for mechila. Come on, he doesn't deserve any compassion. Vayana Melech, and the Melech responds, Ki lochein adover, no. Ki bioso mischaret ein la miso. Since he has his charot, we're not going to put him to death. Ulam im kol zeh, no. Despite that, nevertheless, Shalola Nisho Klal I Efshar, I can't let him totally off the hook, as we say, Kimidas Adin Lokabazeh, because that would be in violation of the laws and the demands of justice. So instead, what does the king do? Gazar Olaf Onesh, what kind of punishment would he decree upon this villager? Lohavio El Ir Moshav HaMelech, bring him to the capital city, El Beis HaMelech, into the palace of the king. Pnima, you know, if you've ever been to Versailles or any of these places where you see the old palaces, there also shama you see Kar Tiferes Gedulas HaMelech. He's paraphrasing the Megillas Esther, you know, with Achashver, and he will behold the beauty of the palace. Dovra Shalohe Meshayer Tchila Midaito Klal. He'll see things that he never even dreamt of as a villager. Azai Yemar or Yesar Rucho Bekirbo. That's going to shake him up. Visaras Besaro, and you know his hair will, and his skin will be full of goose pimples. Bizachro, because he'll remember Ma'osa, what he did when he was Mevaza the Melech Hagadol V'Nichbad. Vatzar Hazeh, this suffering that he's going to feel, that is going to be his punishment. And the nimshal is that when a person sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Ose Tshuva Mischarit Alachet, if he's sincere about his remorse and his regret of sin, what is his punishment? Hashem Yisrael, Hashem Yisbaruch Mofialo, God reveals himself to him. He shows him how great he is, meaning how great God is. Bedas Ubebina. And this person begins to comprehend the Romimus, O Yisparach, the unbelievable Romimus, I don't know how you say that in English, the glory of God, the grandeur of God, the majesty of God. The Oz, who mismarmer, he's very bitter inside of himself. Vitzoek moral godol achet, he cries out over the severity of his sin. Bezochro ma'os, when he remembers what he did, ve'heiz, how he was so bold and brazen, lachto neged Hashem, v'zeu, and that's what it means, keil nekomas Hashem. V'ulam, al yedei mahi nikmaso, l'zeu omar keil nekomas hofia ratzolomar, al yedei sho hofia hofa'a, hu nikmaso yisparach adkan dvorv. This is what the Baal Shem Tov says, that the meeting out of punishment here is because this individual who sinned and is on the process, on the road to tshuva and charot, and now he comprehends the greatness of God and he begins to regret in a very deep and profound way, how can he sin against the great king? Oh, fine. Al pizebi arti, now I want to understand what it means that b'makom shemali tshuva omdim tzadikim gmurim enem yicholim lamon. When a person does tshuva, he reaches a level that even the tzaddikim can't reach that level. Ki ha-kafri hazeh, asher machnisin osol chedrei ha-melech, this villager who's being brought into the king's palace and being shown the greatness of the king, is to punish him in, right? Ki kol od asher yechzeh yoseh kom, the more he comprehends the glory, the majesty of the king, the more his intense is his feeling, his pain and his anguish, regretting his sin, is imkein efo yitochen sheyolichu es hakafri azel chedri hamelech hayosef pnimiyim umefuorim. It means that this sinner is being brought through the process of tshuva into the greatest places of divine revelation, the revelation of the king. Umahorim, and they show him pnimiyusam v'rabamusam. Is ein l'rishus l'shum sar misar melech v'yov of lovo behem. The sar here represents the tzaddik who was never guilty of any sin. He was righteous from the beginning, but he doesn't get this royal tour of the palace. It's Dafka the sinner who now is regretting and doing tshuva. He gets to see the pnim, you know, the inner sanctum of the king, treasure houses that no one else, even the greatest officers, ever get to behold. And therefore, b'makom she bali tshuva omdim, that beauty and grandeur of God that is shown and beheld by the bali tshuva is not even, it's not shaykh for a tzaddik to reach that level. So he can't reach that level of the place where the bali tshuva is on. Oh. And that's what it means when Chazal say in the Gemara in Yuma, G'dola tshuva, how great is tshuva she magas ad kisei hakavod. It brings a person all the way to the throne of God through tshuva. Hakavana is God is going to reveal to him his kisei hakavod, that he sits on the divine, what do you say? The throne of glory. Thank you very much. Leman yemar libo bekirbo, because now that the bal tshuva comes in an encounter, beholding as it were the throne of glory of God, is he begins to realize, I sinned against God. This is the melech hakavod. And he feels that much more of a profound regret in his sins and his actions. Oh, now perhaps we can connect this to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva becomes the paradigm of Baal Tshuva. And Rabbi Akiva says that, he declares about himself in the Gemara Pesachim that we saw, when I was in Am Haaretz, I said, if I would get a Talmud Chacham in front of me, I'm going to bite him like a chamor. Hine, kasher higdil, acher kach b'Torah, when Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah, through his wife, and he sat in classes, and you can imagine he was probably 40, and they were little children. He was in the cheder with them. And bevadei osa tshuva, when he realized the greatness and the grandeur of the Torah, he obviously repented for all his sins, including the sinah, the hatred that he felt towards the Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore it comes out, according to the Baal Shem Tov, that his punishment would be that he would be shown min hashamayim an extra hasaga, an extra comprehension and appreciation for the gedolim, for the great scholars, be otzem, with a certain power to see and comprehend the madregas malas talmidei chachamim. Because again, you want to get to the point where the Baal Tshuva is mitztayer for what he did. And here in the case of Akiva, he is going to regret the fact that he had anger and hatred towards the Talmidei Chachamim, and he didn't appreciate them. On the contrary, he hated them. Now Hashem is going to show him, is going to display to him how great the Talmidei Chachamim are. And now Rabbi Akiva is going to comprehend the Otzem Madrega, and that Hasaga is going to supersede the Hasaga of all the other Chachamim of his generation. And this is Dafka because he, Rabbi Akiva, was a sone He was a hater of these Anoshim Gedolim. Now Hashem is going to give Rabbi Akiva a vision and an appreciation for how great they are, so that the regret and the remorse of Rabbi Akiva is that much more profound. Im Kain, therefore, I saw Hasagoso Begolo Viakara Erech Talmidei Chachamim Yisera Viodefes Al Kol Shara Chachamim. Therefore, his appreciation of Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva's, supersedes all of those other Chachamim in that generation because of his hatred of Talmidei Chachamim. Hashem had to show him what it means to be a Talmud Chacham, the secrets of what Torah does. You know, there's certain things that you can't comprehend, you can't appreciate the greatness of a Talmud Chacham. And the divine being has to reveal those secrets, and that's what Hashem did for Rabbi Akiva. V'al Kain, and therefore he says, Im Sheshar HaChachomim Nisyaru Mi Lahasmich Es Talmud Chacham Elov Yisparach. In other words, none of the Chacham had the audacity, if you will, to add a yitura decry, an extra pasuk to say es Hashem al kachtira es l'rabos talmidei chachamim, because they had only a certain limited, relative to Rabbi Akiva, limited appreciation of the chachamim. But in the case of Rabbi Akiva, because of the greatness of his appreciation of the otzem, of the power and the sanctity and the high level of talmidei chachamim, erkam harav, tachlis ha'asoga, he had the complete, total, perfect appreciation of these Chachamim, and having been revealed the secret of the greatness and the glory and the majesty of a Talmud Chacham, therefore he could darshan the pasuk es l'rabos Talmidei Chachamim. So let's just see, if we go backwards, how we've tied up all these loose strings. We started with the Gemara Pesachim, that although Shimon HaMsuni got stuck when he came to es l'rabos Hashem al kechatira, Rabbi Akiva revealed to him that the extra S is to be marbet talmidei chachamim. We went now to the insight of the Baal Shem Tov on the pasuk kel nekomo sofia, with the mashal of the ish kfar. Then we saw the Gemara in Pesachim that tells us about Rabbi Akiva in his youth when he was an Igaramis, he had disdain and hatred for talmid chachamim. How do we tie this all together? And the answer is that based on the Yisod, the insight of the Baal Shem Tov, we understand that God, when He meets out punishment, what He really wants to achieve is a true, genuine, profound charata, remorse. And how does Hashem achieve that goal? By showering upon a person all the goodness that will reveal the severity of that person's sin, to appreciate what it means, heaven forbid, karamba, to violate the glory of Hashem and rebel against God. In the case of Rabbi Akiva, because one of his sins in his youth was his disdain for Talmidei Chacham, Hashem revealed to Rabbi Akiva something that he never revealed to anyone, the glory and the significance, the otzem, the intense power and sanctity of the Talmidei Chacham. So Rabbi Akiva, more than any other Chacham in his generation, was able to comprehend and appreciate the greatness of the Talmidei Chacham because Hashem revealed it to him. And that's why in general we say that the place of a Baal Tshuva is greater than the place of even a Tzaddik, because the Baal Tshuva is shown, you know, he gets a personal tour of the palace of the king to see and comprehend the glory of the king. So now he'll feel true regret and remorse over his rebellion against the king. Rabbi Akiva, in his position, was able to comprehend the tremendous Otze Madrega Malas Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore, of course, he suffered a greater and deeper tsar and anguish and remorse over the fact that he, in his youth, he hated the Talmidei Chachamim. But once Rabbi Akiva comprehended and appreciated how great the Talmidei Chacham was, he had the chutzpah, so to speak, to now darshan that the extra word S is coming to be Marbe Talmidei Chachamim. And if this be the case, Rabosai, perhaps we can begin to understand the connection here to the days of the Sfira. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos that during this period of time, between Pesach and Atzeres, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died, and they perished. And the reason for that was, Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh, meaning that they didn't have that respect for Talmidei Chachamim. They were lacking that element of appreciation of what a Talmud Chacham is. And Rabbi Akiva, as a result of this terrible catastrophe, went down south, and he gathered together five young men, and he taught them, and they became the great Tanoim that transmitted Torah. That's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shavua, Heim Hamidu Torah. And again, the Gemara emphasizes that the period of time in which these Talmidim died was the period of time between Pesach and Atzeres, and that's why we commemorate this period of time for the sin of Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh with the days of Sfira and the Avelus of Sfira. And now we're going to study an insight of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says the following. He's interpreting a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. I didn't get a chance to find this Gemara. I think we have it here all the way in the back. Maybe, again, I don't want it because the clock is ticking. I don't want to take the time to go look for it, but we'll see if we can. In any event, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva ben Arach i'aker Talmudei kam lemikrei besifra. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who was a great scholar, forgot all his Torah. And the Gemara describes why that happened. He went to the bathhouses, you know, back in the day, you know, the Greeks and the Romans, they had these bathhouses and they were very pleasurable, and he got a little bit too carried away. And at the end, he got so sucked into that way of life that he stopped learning and he forgot his Torah. And when they gave him an aliyah and they told him to read from the Torah, instead of reading HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, he read it HaChereish Haya Libam, that their lave was totally deaf, meaning that they forgot their Torah. And he was really, not consciously, but symbolically, he was referring to himself. And the Gemara tells us that in the period of time right before Atzeres, meaning before Shavuos, which is called the month of Iyar, right, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, so I thought it was appropriate, says the Chasam Sofer, what is special about the month of Iyar? He says, take a look at the following pasuk. It says, Ani Hashem Rofecha. If you take the Aleph of Ani, the first letter, and you take the Yud of Yudke Vavke, and you take the Resh, it forms the word Iyar. And then the Chasam Sofer refers to another pasuk, because again, in that pasuk, Iyar is written with only one Yud, and we write Iyar with two Yuds. So if you take a look at the second pasuk, it says, V'oiva yashuvu yavoshu rega. And there you have the Aleph and two Yuds followed by the Resh. So you have two Yudin in this Pasuk for the word and the month of Iyar. Says the Chasam Sofer, Mizmar Medaber, what is the subject, the theme of this particular Psalm in Tehillim? Is Kishahaya David Chole Nisrape, that David suffered and he was healed. So we have two allusions in two different psukim to refuah. Ani Hashem Rofecha, it means that the month of Iyar is endowed, according to Chasam Sofer, with a special power to be merape. Okay? And that's what this Gemara and Shabbos is all about, that Shmuel testifies to those who suffered that they were healed during this month before Atzeres. Okay, now, here's the trick. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amid Beis establishes, that's number 11 on your page, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Lo Charva Yushalayim, what was the sin that brought about the destruction of the temple of Yushalayim the Churban? Bishvil Shebizu Ba Talmidi Chachamim. That's very interesting. They had no respect for the Chachamim, and instead they humiliated them. And he quotes a pasuk to prove this. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, "Ad ein marpe." And what are those three words? "Ad ein marpe." They're attached to someone who's guilty of the sin of being mevaza talmidei chachamim. It means "ein marpe." Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav kol mevaza talmidei chachamim ein lo refuah lemakoso. Meaning, for this sin, there's no refuah. So basically what we have here is the following. Number one, according to Chasam Sofer, the period of time in Chodesh Iyar that precedes the Atzeres is a period of time in which Hashem grants us refuah. It means it's a special skula here for healing. On the other hand, we have a statement in the Gemara in Shabbos in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that there's one sin which has no refuah. is so severe that it's almost impossible to do tshuva. And that's Bizui Talmidei Chachamim Ein Refuah L'Makasa. And now we want to look at Rav Chaim Nochum Lichtenstein. And he says the following. He starts with the Gemara in Yevamos that we learned, that all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died in this period of time before Atzeres. And why? Because they weren't knowing Kavod Zebezeh. They didn't respect one another. And that's why these days of Sfira are marked as days of Avelus, of mourning, and therefore we don't get married during this period of time. And the question that we want to ask is, why was this period of time singled out for the death of the Talmidei Chachamim? And the answer that he gives is, based on the Gemara that we saw, that if anyone wants to experience refuah, the best time in the whole year is the month of Iyar that precedes Chag HaShavuos. And therefore the days of Sfira are really days of refuah. But on the other hand, despite the power of refuah, the Gemara says in Shabbos that there's one sin that has no refuah, and that's the sin of Mevazei Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, the punishment for the Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Shalom Nagu Kavod Bezeh, they were punished dafka because of these days that lend themselves to refuah, to teach us and to prove, to demonstrate to us that they died because of Bizui Talmidei Chachamim. Other sins, God may have given them refuah. But for this sin of Bizui Talmidei Chachamim, there's no refuah. And even during the month of Iyar, which is a month that has within it this power of skula, of refuah, nevertheless, for this Avera, that they weren't knowing Kavod Zebezeh, which is called Bizui Talmidei Chachamim, there is no refuah. How do you know that there's no refuah? Because they died during this period of time, which is a period of time of refuah. And if this be the case, Rabbosai, this might shed a whole new light on Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Haggadah Shel Pesach, so we can swing back to Pesach again. Because the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim that the sin that brought about the Golus, the exile of the Jewish people to Mitzrayim, was Avram's sin. What was Avram's sin? Sha'asa Angariya B'Talmidei Chachamim. You remember this?
Yeah.
That he used Talmidei Chachamim for his army against the four kings. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Vayorek es chanichav yelide beso. So perhaps we could say, and that's the Vayagin Moshe on Pirkei Avos. He says Yeshlomar al pi masha amru chazal di onesh shehutzuku Yisrael lios b'mitzrayim tachas ol shibud. Why were the Jewish people punished and given the shibud of Mitzrayim? Hayibah von Avram avinu. Because of the sin of Avram, Sha'asan Gariya V'Talmidei Chachamim, which means that during this time of year, meaning the time of Pesach, when we remember the Shibud Mitzrayim, we remember the fact that there was an omission or a deficiency of Kavod for the Talmidei Chachamim. And at this particular period of time, therefore, we should remember that we have to be Mechabe Talmidei Chachamim. Because as a result of this sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Shibud of Mitzrayim. You don't have page 3, do you? Okay, it's just a short piece. And he says the following. That maybe when we say at the night of Haggadah, we say, Afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu nivonim, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzis Mitzrayim. Now, what does this mean that if we were all scholars, we would still have to be Mesapri Yitzis Chayim. Halo Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Bishum Mitzvah Shebet Torah. If you're talking about Torah, then it seems almost antithetical. You're talking about Chirus, about freedom, and then you're talking about the Torah, which imposes upon us 613 obligations. But the answer is that what are we saying here? Afilu Kulonu Chachamim, Kulonu Yodim Es HaTorah. Ikar Tama Mitzvah, who Kadesh Nilmad, the purpose of this mitzvah of studying the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maskil Bignus and studying the reasons and the causes for Golus Mitzrayim is to teach us Shenilmod Lechabe Talmidei Chachamim, that we have to respect Talmidei Chachamim because the sin that caused the Shibud of Mitzrayim was the lack and the deficiency of Kavod and Kain, Talmidei Chachamim Atzmam, Yitochen Shiyu Peturim. If the whole teaching that we want to derive from Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim and remembering the goal of Mitzrayim and the cause thereof is to be Mechali Talmidei Chacham, and maybe the Talmidei Chacham themselves, who command this respect, they should be exempt from the mitzvah. They don't have to learn the lesson. Yeah,
but here the problem was that between them they didn't...
That's what he wants to say. Excellent, Avi. L'chach ka'omar... Oh no, afilu kulanu chachamim. You should know that even the Talmidei Chachamim have a rule, have a responsibility of being Mesapri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they have to understand and appreciate all the Talmidei Chachamim, respect them. They're not exempt from this mitzvah of Kavod Talmidei Chachamim. And we go on in this in our Agada to tell the story about the five Tanoim that were Mesubim b'Bnei Brak. And even though they were all great scholars, they spent the night learning about Yetzias Mitzrayim, being Mesapri Yetzias Mitzrayim through the wee hours of the morning. And why is that? Because everyone, even Talmidei Chachamim, have to learn this lesson of Kvod Talmidei Chachamim. And he says in the end here that Kvod Talmidei Chachamim hu Kvod Hashem Yisparach, that in truth the Chachamim are ideally meant to represent Hashem, and therefore, since the entire she'ifa, the entire longing of a Talmud Chacham is to teach Torah, is to increase the glory of Hashem in this world, therefore the Talmidei Chachamim really represent God Himself. And that's what it means when Rabbi Akiva says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Why do we have to be Mechabe Talmidei Chachamim? Why is there a mitzvah of Mora, of reverence for Talmidei Chachamim? The answer is because they, the Talmidei Chacham, represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are God's representatives in this world. They are the scholars who are teaching us Torah and teaching us about the glory of God. They really represent the glory of God. And therefore, Ken B'yomim Elu, therefore, during this period of time, when we are suffering and grieving over the loss of the Talmidei Chachamim, at the time of Rabbi Akiva, because Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeba, said that they were lax in this aspect of appreciating and glorifying the Talmidei Chachamim during this period of time. Nosnim Ozen Koshevis, we should put our ears and perk up our Lekol Talmidei Chachamim Talmideim, have an especial respect for Talmidei Chachamim, because this is the time period in which we have to be Mechabed Talmidei Chachamim. Now we go back to the Mishnah that we started with of Yoshua ben Prachya and the Avodas HaMelech. The dictum of Yoshua ben Prachya, the third of the three, is Havidan es kol ha'odom lekaf schus, that we have to judge each person for the good, tip the scale in his favor. Oh, so the Avodas Yisrael, one of the great Hasidic giants, he was confused about that. He says, why does the statement of Yoshua ben Prachya say es kol ha'adam? It could have just said havidan kol adam lekafskus, judge every person. What's es kol ha'adam? And he wants to present a new novel insight into what maybe Yoshua ben Prachya had in mind over here. And this is an unbelievable lesson. He says, "Kishayira eze inyanim me'olam azeh." Anything that you experience, you encounter in this world during the course of your lifetime, o eza avera chaschavo, you see someone, heaven forbid, who violates an avera. It's not coincidental that this was shown to you. It's part of a divine plan. It's a challenge to you. Azai taskil. Taskil means become sensitive, become aware and intelligent enough, v'tovin, to understand, ki lo al chinam bolach hazos, tachas einecha, this was not placed in front of your eyes as a matter of coincidence, ela, but rather, im lo likach mimena eze musar, it means that Hashem is sending you a message that's a musar, that's a something that's meant to awaken and inspire you, v'hainu, Sheyakir es atzmo, or Yazkir es atzmo, he should go into his past and start reviewing what his experiences have been. Ulai, perhaps, also gam hu kein v'pam acherka. that maybe at one time he also was guilty of this, of this same sort of crime, or be'eza inyan acher akov, or something similar. Kegon, like for example, he sees someone getting angry. Chazal say that anger is a terrible thing. Kilu kol akois kilu ovid avodah zarah chas v'shalom. But we're all guilty of anger at some point. So if he sees someone getting angry, maybe it's a message to him that he got angry at some point and he has to do tshuva. Because hakol ubidei shamayim, everything is organized by God, and it's not a coincidence that he was shown this. V'yoshiv azai al chatov, and then he'll do tshuva on his sin, because he'll start retrospecting and analyzing his past and reminding himself of his sin. And if that be the case, maybe that's what Yoshua ben Prachya had in mind here when he said S, and he says the following: V'chenu akol, everything that he experiences, havidan es kol ha'adam lekafschus kamo, meaning interpret this, these words as if it said im kol ha'adam, meaning in any encounter with any person at any time, kidei shetovo lekafschus shetoshuv, by understanding and judging the situation that you see with regard to any person, whenever he shows up, and you start, you know, thinking. Hopefully, if you get the message, start thinking, maybe I was guilty of the same sin. Is that's going to bring him to the kaf schus? So again, it's not the simple pshat that we have to judge others favorably, but rather, we should be in a process of self-judgment, because we see that other person violating, falling short of the mitzvah Torah. What about me, myself, and I? What am I guilty of? And then I'll come to do tshuva. So he reads this into imkol ha'adam. In other words, when it says, have he done imkol ha'adam l'kafschus, meaning together with the judgment of the person, you should judge yourself. Right? Imkol ha'adam. And then, as a result, ultimately you'll reach the kafschus. Va'poshehu, but if you want to read the statement of Yoshua ben Prachya on a straightforward, simple level, without these very sophisticated, deeper meanings, he says, Kilo yodata es yitzro hara. Basically, you don't know how powerful the Yetzer Hara is operating against him. And therefore, don't be quick to judge him, because, you know what? If you would have been in his same place, if you were in his shoes, and you were suffering from the same challenges, if you had the same Yetzer that this guy has, maybe you'd be even worse than him. And I think that maybe this ties into everything that we've been discussing today, that it's not coincidental that during this period of time of Sfira, we start learning Pirkei Avos, because this is a period of time in which we have to increase and intensify our respect, especially for Talmidei Chachamim, because of the sin of the 24,000 Talmidim Shelo Nagu Zeh B'Zeh. And it's very subtle. You know, a person can see someone else, and he has a certain, you know, he looks down upon this person because he sees that that person is guilty of this and that. But what he's not doing is, A, he's not judging him. What would he be in that situation if he had the same challenges and the same yitzhar? Number two, he's not getting the message that not only is his friend guilty as accused of that crime, but if he was the witness to his friend's crime, it means that he himself is guilty of that crime. And if he goes back into his past, he'll discover that he was guilty of that crime. You know, I find this true even on the roads. You know, people drive here in this country, I don't want to be catching, but you know, they sometimes they do crazy things. But if you see somebody doing crazy things, maybe if you think back for, you know, back in the distant past, like a day ago, you know, you were also guilty of the same thing. Because what happens is you get swept up by this attitude of aggression, and it's not only, you know, you become aggressive not only on the roads, you know, why does he have a right to go before me? But in general in life, it spills over. You know, sometimes if you listen to the way people talk, you'll hear almost in their voices a certain aggression.
Well, when do we, if we're learning Musa all the time, that's our religion as well, part of religion, how to behave to another right. person. So why do they forget? It's the most important thing.
Chazal say kol agol mi'chaver yitzro agol mi'menu, meaning it's unbelievable. There's an inverse relationship. The more we climb higher, the more and greater the challenges are. You know, they say about the Chofetz Chaim, I think I mentioned it to you once, that he was in his 90s, and they overheard him getting up in the morning on a cold winter morning in Poland, and he was talking to the Yetzer Hara. Right. And he was yelling at him, and he says, "You no good, Nick, you're trying to trip me up, you're trying to tell me to cover up in the bed because it's warm under the blankets, under the quilts, and not get up for davening. I'm going to fight you." And he was literally battling against the Yetzer Hara. Again, I don't know, it's just a legend.
A religion where we should do this. It's an automatic thing, there's no excuse.
The excuse is that the greater you are, the greater the challenges. And that's we're human beings. We're finite.
Respect to other human beings.
Correct. We should respect others. But
Jewish, we're not
it's easier to learn the whole Shas than to fix one
Midah. Right? They say the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, that it's easier to learn all of Shas than to change one bad Midah. And we're born with bad Midahs. Right. That's the truth. Let's face it. You know, we're not born Tzaddikim. But rather we have challenges. I gave a shir in Chumash here on Sunday about the Parsha of Metzora, the punchline for those who weren't there. I don't know if anyone here was there, but the punchline of the whole shir was that God gives us challenges almost from the day we're born.
Right.
And that's the nature of the game. God didn't make it easy for us. And it gets harder and harder as we go along. So we hope that we set our goals and that the Musa should penetrate into our hearts and hopefully project us forward, but at the same time, we're human beings. And therefore, we see other human beings who are sometimes in very close proximity and they fall short of what we expect. Instead of judging them, we should understand it as a message for ourselves. That's what it says here in the Avodah Yisrael, that maybe we are deficient in the same way they are. And that could bring us to a higher level of kavod when we appreciate that, you know, instead of judging this guy, you know, where are you? And that brings you to a state of anava, you know, somehow the Mitzora, he speaks Lashon Hara against others because he thinks he's great, and he's suffering from a bloated ego, and he's a balgaiva. Instead, let's deflate his ego, and let's respect the other guy, because if you were in his shoes, maybe you would do it, you would be worse than he. And the challenges are great. And God wants us to be challenged. And God expects us to fail. Failure is built into the nature of man. Lo yasa adam tov lo yechta. But it doesn't mean that because I sin and I fail, therefore I have to be down on myself and I have to get depressed. That's one way of responding to sin. And then you go down, down, and even more down. On the contrary, we should feel remorse and regret. We should try to do the best we can with tshuva, but we should look forward to the next day and say, okay, yesterday was a bad day for me. And sometimes we're down on ourselves. Why didn't I accomplish yesterday? And I wasted time. And I didn't behave properly and this and that. Leave yesterday. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And try to do better. So, Mirza Hashem, we should all be zocha to, in this period of time, intensify both our respect for Talmid HaChacham and our respect for one another. And if we'll be mekayim this mitzvah of a heavy donis chaver l'kaf schus, then we'll be well on the way to sincere tshuva and to hopefully rectify that sin for which we're suffering and we're grieving in these days which are paradoxically days of simcha as we anticipate Kabbalah Satorah, but also days of avelus because of the terrible sin of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva Shelo Nagu Zeh Bazeh. Okay then? So we'll stop here.
Thank you. Okay.